Because my brother and his wife were using drugs.
Absolutely.
And so the court gave them a time period to get off drugs. Well, first, they wanted my brother to leave his wife alone because they knew that my brother would be a good father without the wife.
Right.
But he felt that since it was his wife, that should be his choice.
Right.
So since he did not get rid of the wife, they
took the kids. See.
So the children is in foster care. The oldest boy, he just turned 18 in February. But he left the foster system on his own and took care of his self and fend for himself from the age of 14 to 18.
And that's what's up. He learned. We're going to have to wrap this up. It's about time. So with all that being said, and everybody out there, I want you to understand yourself, love yourself, and love everyone else.
Yes.
You know, it is what it is. And I'm out till next month. This is Hennessy the Goon, one of my best friends. Peace, and I love y'all. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier to say it. It's all reflected in my head.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock, and next is Keeping It Real. Stay tuned.
Got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor One Words Alive Tour on Thursday, April 5th, 7 p.m. at Specs Records and Tapes, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland. This in-store performance by One Word for his Alive Spring Tour will be followed by several sets from local hip-hop support, Lisa Vasquez, Burt Sienna, Valvoline, and Northern Draw. This is an all-ages show. Again, all ages. That's One Word's Alive Tour at Specs Records, 8216 North Denver Avenue in Portland, on Thursday, April 5th, from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How to Train Pugs at Work on Thursday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Studio 1 at KBOO Radio. Portland Underground Graduate School hosts a one-day workshop on how people learn, how to teach where your learner is and what they need to know, and how to implement it in your professional and personal life. Again, that's How to Train Pugs at Work on Thursday, April 5th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Studio 1 at KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lungs, heals the pain in my chest. Take 6 quarters out of the pocket and drop it in the box. Hop the 48 off to pay homage. It stops often. I jot my observations, watching citizens walking off of the Joe Metropolitan. Yeah. Proletarians and wayward sons with old Filipino men speaking in their native tongue. And the day has just begun. Greeted by the scent of a bum, smelling something like beer, barf, and dung. A brother in Jabot's in the back, all alone. Marinating in a pair of half-broken headphones, mumbling rhymes, same time begin to pen mine, appreciating God's design. Rewind sister, reminds me of a smile in the back of my memory. Wonder if I see her again, will she remember me? I'm not trying to holler, I swear. I'm just weary of the way we hop a ride and just sit there and stare. Prepare for my 9 o'clock work meeting. A couple pale folks slide right by with no greeting, but the people with my phenotype follow with a head nod up, cause we acknowledge that the shit fucked
America, north of Martin Luther King. A straight war zone, detours through the concrete, cranes and bulldozers. No, the hill is not over still. Every block got a coffee shop, it's overkill. Focus, know the deal, dope to see Khalil back. The medicine is good again, the feeling of leaving and coming back to your hood again is priceless. I write this, our lives are in crisis. Most talk but don't walk the path of the righteous. Despite this, I measure each step, walking closer to my final destination of death. When I'm laying to rest, I'm only saving my breath. The Northwest fills the lung, kills the pain in my chest. Clutch the moment, a transfer in my hand, still listening. Looking out the window to the gold and the green. And the sun might be shining, but it's colder than it seems. Cause the weather's dialectical, there's no in between. In walks an old soul, a First Nation native cat, chiseled like a totem pole. No words as he stands and looks over us. He gets off and says, have a good day, you foreigners. I crack a smile one time for the acknowledgement. North down, now we start to pick up more college kids. They try to study on the ride to make up for the fact that they probably kicked it hard last night. And I ponder if it's time to save up and get a car and pay for the gas that we're taking from the war. I'd miss all the colorful faces, the places and spaces I've embraced with the faith that I can rest in. Raise kids here, even with these cats set tripping, bringing 95 back again. Same old conditions from Reagan to Bush to Clinton to Bush the second. No matter the neighborhood in the city you're repping, it's getting serious, y'all. You can even hear the rebel call getting off, leaving hella pieces on the walls. Seen it all, sitting sideways with my townmates. Only place left where majority is brown.
What up, what up? What's going on, Portland? It's your boy Aron, and this is another episode of Keeping It Real. I got Delphine here with me in the studio.
Hello, everyone.
What's up, Del? How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's been a good day.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to have you here today. Also, shout out to Nick Deasy. He can't be here today. He had a family thing going on. So, you know, we just want to make sure we show him some love and tell him we already miss him. So today I was just going to start this show by just kind of talking about this last week. I basically had the opportunity to go down south to Atlanta, Georgia, and then, you know, got the opportunity to drive up to Tuskegee, Alabama. And, you know, we just, it was a trip full of, a lot of history. We got to see a couple of schools, you know, like universities over there.
And that was a school trip, right?
Yeah, it was a school trip. We went to see historically black colleges. So we took a group of 18 students.
Wow.
It was amazing. Just kind of seeing, you know, the history, the culture down south, the way people treated each other and addressed each other. It was interesting. And this was probably the first time that I've been surrounded by so many just like black people, you know. And, you know, for somebody who's 6'4 and black and, you know, I was raised in the Middle East and then, you know, moved to the U.S., but in Washington. And so I've never really been fully submerged, like, in a state that's majority black or, mm-hmm. you know. So it was really interesting being over there. And with it being the 50th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination.
Right.
I actually saw a crowd of people outside the convention center as mm-hmm. I was driving over here doing a memorial for him. And I thought that was
tonight
really cool.
Here in Portland?
Yeah, I just seen.
Oh, wow.
I seen them. Yeah, they had.
Because that's where the statue is.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so they had MLK banners and some peace signs. And I thought in today's political time and in mm-hmm. this climate, I thought that was really cool. But just kind of to touch up on a couple of things. We started out the trip in Atlanta, Georgia. We went and visited Dr. Martin Luther King's house where he grew up, where he was born and raised basically, mm-hmm. Up until the age of 12. And then, I found out he went to college at the age of 15.
Wow.
He was very bright. And he actually went to college and graduated with his older sister, which was really cool. And it was interesting when we first got there, I just felt this energy, you know. We got to walk in the house and we got to see the family. There was a family that lived there after Martin Luther King's
right.
family, but what they basically did was the family still owned the house. And so once those people moved out in the 70s after his assassination, they basically repurposed the house to the same way it used to be. because so many people were interested in it and just seeing where he was brought up.
Right, now it's just a museum.
Yeah, and so now it's a museum. His dad went and he did a couple of changes to the stairs, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and so he undid those changes, and so it looked pretty
exactly
much the same way.
Exactly how it was.
Yeah,
it
was really cool just to see how humble
right.
the beginnings were, and at the time, you live with your in-laws, and so it was just really, really cool experience. And then afterwards, we got to go and see where his current memorial, aka mm-hmm. also his gravesite.
Okay.
Him and Miss Coretta.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because there was a guy over there standing by, and he saw us just kind of taking pictures and stuff, and he offered to take a picture. He was a security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And so we asked him why was there a security there, and he said that when they first buried Dr. Martin Luther King, they didn't bury him at that site, which mm-hmm. is right across the street from the church that his grandpa owned. They buried him at a cemetery, but what basically white supremacists and group mm-hmm. of the KKK and, you know, just people who were racist at the time mm-hmm. basically would shoot at his grave.
Wow.
Like they would go and shoot it with a gun, and they threatened that they would exhume his body and just kind of drag it around the streets. And so what the city of Atlanta ended up doing was they exhumed his body,
mm.
Which is preserved, and they basically ended up burying him in that space across the street, two blocks away from his house and across the street from the
okay.
church. And they ended up basically hiring a security guard
to make sure
that and ever since then there's been a guy, and he said he's seen, like, he's been there for probably he said 20-30 years.
Hmm.
And so the knowledge that he passed down to the students was really cool.
Wow.
And we also got the opportunity to visit the CNN headquarters, which was I thought it was cool just to see the different rooms and stations, and it's huge.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was such
it's
a big
not KBU.
It was way bigger, and they had like so many different buildings. I guess they have many headquarters.
Right.
The Atlanta was one of them, but it was really cool to see that too. Afterwards, we ended up driving down to Alabama the next day. And we visited a specific place, Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to Tuskegee, we got to see the students put on a show. They did a step show, and they kind of had a huge party in the lawn for it was an open house, you know. Mm-hmm. So they had a lot of incoming students and just people who were interested.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so amazing to see such culture,
mm-hmm.
like the music, the dancing, the soul food, the
mm-hmm.
the energy, and how open they were to just welcoming people. I mean, it didn't matter what you were, you
right.
just felt that you were a part of that school.
Right,
and
right.
And so I thought it was very fulfilling. It was an amazing day too. So the overall experience was really cool. You know, we got to go visit a couple of historic sites there. Also, while we were in like Morehouse, Clark, Atlanta, and Spelman in Atlanta, this was huge. Like, this was one of the best points that I saw, because you know how like one of those universities is strictly boys, one is strictly mm-hmm. girls, and then one is mixed.
Right. So Spelman is girls.
Yeah. Morehouse is boys, and then Clark, Atlanta is mixed.
Is mixed.
And so we were in. We got to visit I guess you would say it's a church / like a huge auditorium center for religious studies. They do huge events there. That was where Dr. Martin Luther King's funeral was held.
Oh, wow.
And they had these two statues there. One was of Gandhi, and then the other one was of his wife. And Gandhi was one of those figures that influenced Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, you know, he refers to him a lot in his peaceful ways. What I thought was interesting, and this is something I didn't know, but the statues his wife's statue was slightly higher than his. And his statue, he was looking down, kind of looking sad, you know, with his eyes almost closed. And his wife, she had her head up high. You know, you could see her eyes clearly. It was like a powerful pose, right? And so when I asked the guy, I was like, you know, why, what's the difference? And he said that Gandhi actually started out by being abusive towards his wife.
Yeah.
And she was the reason why she taught him the meaning of, like, the movement, what it meant to be peaceful, right? And he basically took that on and created the platform, and, you know, and that's how he was able to inspire many people. But I thought it was crazy that not much is said about that whole situation with his wife from before, and how she deserves the credit in reality. And so they make it a point to actually tell that story when you go on that tour.
And you end up asking the question because it's so significant how Gandhi and his wife are represented.
Exactly.
It's on purpose to ask.
Exactly. And like, I thought that was, that's the type of intention I think we would need in the U.S. today and around the world when it comes to the equality between women and men in every industry. And so I thought that was just like a huge testament. You know, I'd ask you, how does something like that, knowing something like that exists out there, how does that make you feel?
Well, I think that what I appreciate about it, I think it's studying history. There is a tendency always to kind of look at heroes or to like want to talk about history as, you know, here are the saviors or the people who like made big differences. And yes, of course, there are all these people, Martin Luther King or Gandhi are some of these people, but they're also human, you know, and so they're not perfect. They had, you know, flaws. And sometimes we have the tendency to kind of forget that and we only focus on, you know, the positive. And then we forget, you know, that these people were actually complex human beings, that they grew, that they were different, you know. Just thinking about Winnie Mandela also, who just passed away, who had, you know, very controversial also kind of positions later on in her life, you know. So I think it's important that whenever we talk about history and whenever we look at peoples and individuals who've made, you know, significant contributions, that we portray them as human beings. And when we do have, you know, the positive and the negative alike, because we cannot just like wait for a hero. Heroes don't exist. It's not going to happen. Nobody is going to come and save us all.
Right.
Sorry, folks. I mean, maybe, but I don't know. I might be ignorant, but in my opinion, it won't happen in that way. And whenever we say those things about, like, you know, Gandhi was like this like amazing person, and we put him in this on this pedestal, it creates a lot of issues. And I think then also with the fact that his wife was kind of like at the core of helping him, you know, through addressing his abusive behavior to understand, you know, a better way to move forward, I think it is hugely significant, because a lot of the time that is exactly what happens.
Exactly.
A lot of the time, actually, even men, and if you think about Dr. Luther King, he very often talked about Coretta and how, you know, if she hadn't been, you know, there, you know, the movement wouldn't be what it is.
Exactly.
And it's true of a lot of other people, you know, Ella Baker and many other women who contributed to the movement that are not spoken about, or their contribution are not spoken about as much as, you know, other men who participated in the civil rights movement. And yeah, I think like that is very encouraging to see that. So was it a Clark College that they had those representation?
Yeah, it was. It was in Spell or
in,
yes,
Spelman
or sorry, Morehouse.
In
it was
Morehouse.
A Morehouse. It was closer to Morehouse.
Yeah,
but they're all so close to each other.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
if
no,
you
they
ask
are.
For the the statue, they'll tell you which way to go.
Right.
And yeah, and there was also like this field where it was like the site of a battle, like in the Civil War, which I thought was, I mean, these students literally get to walk in history.
Right.
You know, and I thought, to me, that was so amazing, right. You know, because there's just so much culture and you know, just a lot of beautiful history.
Well, and it is very oftentimes their history that is, I think, the piece, like with African American, I mean, with American history, if you understand American and history and you understand the Great Migration and had a lot of folks who are on the East Coast and other places come from, you know, also the southern states of the United States, you
exactly.
know, so sometimes it's also about like reconnecting.
Exactly, and a lot of the students were just like, yeah, we're not leaving, we're staying here, you know. Especially like when I seen a lot of them just trying to make that connection between the things they go through here in Portland mm-hmm. versus the thing they see over there.
Like what? Know? Give me an example.
For example, two of the guys who were giving us the tour, young guys, freshmen, one of them was going into astrophysics mm-hmm. and the other one was going into, I think it was engineering. And they're like, what? Black people could do that too. And, you know, and to me, that was beautiful. Like I could see kids and they made... So those guys made college look fun.
Right.
You know, because kids think that, okay, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to be sitting in this classroom mm-hmm. and this guy's going to be talking at me for 3 hours. And, mm-hmm. Right. But they don't understand that it's also you choosing, you taking charge right. of your own education, mm-hmm. you know, and there's so much freedom in that.
Yeah, and it's all the cultural, the extracurricular activities that happen outside of the classes. Like, the classes are, like, one of the ways that you get to explore your intellectual self.
Right.
But then there's all these other activities, whether it's, like, you know, through arts and performances that you can see or participate in, but then also all those, like, different groups and different activists and different activities mm-hmm. and, you know, all of those different things that you can become involved in and find, you know, define further who you are and use further your intellectual skills in order to, you know, better yourself and then decide who you want to be.
Yeah, and one of the things that kind of one of my favorite parts, at least, was when we went to Tuskegee, we got to learn about George Washington Carver.
Right.
And we got to go and see his house. Now, this was a man who was freed as a slave
right.
for at the age of 8, and by the age of 12 he learned how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
Went to college, graduated, got 3 different degrees from Harvard included. And mm-hmm. and you got to think, like, at the time, as an African-American individual, he basically paved the path for so many people. He was known for having dinner at the White House
mm-hmm.
with it's crazy. He used to be a slave, freed. Had dinner at the White House with Roosevelt,
mm-hmm.
and they ended up throwing away the utensils he used, the plates, all of that. But still, he was still, he's considered like the Martin Luther King
right.
of education,
right.
and then Frederick Douglass is considered that by any means Malcolm right. X, right? But I loved the fact that this man at the time basically got a budget from Rockefeller
mm-hmm.
and right, I'm pretty sure it was Rockefeller. I might be misquoting that mm-hmm. name, but it was one of the steel barons
mm-hmm.
From Pittsburgh,
right?
Carnegie.
Oh,
it was Carnegie.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
So Carnegie gave him some stocks, or because at first when he went up to Carnegie and kind of asked him for some funds for the school, Carnegie gave him a dollar because he just thought it was just another person. So George Washington Carver went and bought seeds with the dollar and planted it
right.
and then gave Carnegie.
Right.
He said, look, this is what I did with a dollar.
Right.
And so that was impressive.
Right.
But then Carnegie ended up reading his book and was like, okay, this guy is definitely somebody I should invest in.
Right.
You know. And so he was able to build a lot of the buildings at the school. But my favorite part is also that one of the students, one of his first graduating students, ended up being the architect that
mm-hmm.
kind of designed all those schools.
Wow.
And for students to pay their tuition, they learned skills at the school, trades,
right.
and they used those skills to
right.
build, to pay off school
to
as
off.
They went to school.
So it's like sweat equity as well as paying also like with,
exactly.
with wealth. Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, so they learned the skill. They used that skill to pay off their education as they went to school. So it was
right.
like a work study, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I thought that was so amazing that everybody, at the school had to acquire certain skills and things like that, mm-hmm. right? But with that being said, I think it's time for one of the
music
songs.
Break? Sure. Which one do you want to play?
So I was thinking of doing... Let's do Caged Bird by J. Cole. I think that's a great song. It kind of talks about a lot of issues today for a young African-American male. So we're going to go ahead and play that.
Something like a caged bird. Caged bird. Yeah. Look, you ain't a man till you stop chasing your friends, my. Think for yourself, make your own plans, my. I'd be lying if I said I ain't understand, my. Cause who you gonna follow when the leaders all get swallowed by reefer clouds and bottles in and out of county jail? This is hell, see the young black males and pack cells with their heads down and they fists clenched tight, thinking I could bust a hole through this wall, and bitch I just might. It's just like the caged bird, I sing a song, hoping they open up these bars and send a home. I cry when I'm alone, I'm wondering why would God send me here, knowing that they hate us, knowing that they make us feel like we evil, so we kill our people without a second thought, and every lesson taught by OGs, we full of real wisdom, so we proceed like real who been stripped of our humanity. I see the judge's eyes, I know that he ain't understanding me. A caged bird.
Yeah, let this little caged bird sing.
Yeah, caged bird. Freedom's just an illusion, that's my conclusion. And if it ain't, then how my niggas keep on losing this? This goes out to childhood friends that's doing years. Prison tats on they backs like souvenirs. We wish that you was here. A mother's tears spilled on this page, a brother's tears spilled on this page. How many days left? And can you find peace when you release? Still filled up with rage back on the streets, just to peep that you still in the cage.
Well, it's the oratory vet, turned down king / poet laureate. Used to paint a picture with a story of neglect. I could have been a shorty drinking 40s on the steps, with a shorty on my left, with a shorty on the way, coming shortly to protect. I could have been a dealer in the party with the ex, but I'm hardly in the mix, and I partially confess. I definitely got a couple parts of me that I regret. Is the cup half empty or is it half full? I fill mine up with Hennessy, then get back to him. I'm just a jazz musician trapped in a rap form. You think you standing for something, you want a trap door? Well, it's the Mr. Introspective. I'm a dreamer's dreamer, sort of an inception. I never fiend for the scene, but I've dreamed of the things that a Mercedes brings, like slow sex with fast women, drinking cognac, I'm past winning, a sexy dress vet in it, but still hit it till I'm half winded. Cause tell me I'm the sh- when I be hitting all these dimes. See, I'm caged by the visions that are blind. I started as a king, turned to a slave, put us in our chains, we was forced to entertain. Thinking about the present day, I'm living off the stage. Wonder if I ever get up out this cage. As I
caged
sing,
bird.
Yeah,
let this
little
caged bird. Yeah, caged bird. Freedom's just an illusion, that's my conclusion. And if it ain't, then how my niggas keep on losing this? This goes out to childhood friends that's doing years. Prison tats on they backs like souvenirs. We wish that you was here. A mother's tears spilled on this page, a brother's tears spilled on this page. How many days left? And can you find peace when you release? Still filled up with rage back on the streets, just to peep that you still in the cage. Man.
That was Caged Bird by J. Cole. I like that song a lot, just because he touches up on a lot of you know, like the brutality, not just between police and young black men, but even the streets, the street culture, and you know, I think that a lot of people say J. Cole preaches a lot, but I also think that he points out a lot of flaws within our society, and he's no better than anybody. He goes and he spends time in jails, he spends time in community centers. You know, he's one of those artists that I respect a lot, because he doesn't just talk about it, he shows, you know. And he's not the type that'll go and you know how like you get those little publicity stunts and all that. He actually you know, he purchased his childhood home, and single moms could live there now for 3 years, I think it was, till they get on their rent free, you know. Like, he does a lot of cool things like that. without people knowing.
Right.
You know, and he'll go and sit at a random library and talk to people, or, you know, so I think that shows a lot of humility on his behalf and knowledge. He has a lot of wisdom.
And the quote, you know, that you and I were discussing about freedom.
Mm-hmm. He said, freedom is just an illusion. And, you know, I think that it makes sense to me, at least. I mm-hmm. see that there is this false sense of freedom, you know, and I think that, you know, seeing things outside of the U.S., there are a lot of good things here, but then there's a lot of things that could be improved as well.
Right.
You know, and that goes to the treatment that not just black people, but other minorities receive.
Right.
I mean, look at the border is about to get militarized soon.
I know.
And to me, that's scary.
They are already like militarized and they're going like further into it.
Yeah. And it's like, man, like what they're. It's not. There's no war going on.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're doing that, right? And these
it's
are just
an
people.
Internal war,
right? And it's like you have these people who are just trying to make an honest living. Like mm-hmm. it's not, you know. But I don't know. I just felt that song. It's one of my favorites. I listen to it all the time. And there'll be a couple more songs that you know.
And did you have a different understanding of freedom before you came to the U.S.? Because I feel like I had a very different definition of the word freedom before I came to the U.S. and then I understood how Americans, you know, talk about freedom, and I'm like, it is an illusion.
Yeah, and my thing is, so growing up in an Arabian country, being an African person, there were certain things that I couldn't do.
Right.
Even in my own country, there are certain things I can't do or say. Right. So there is freedom here, right? At the same time, I think there are other ways that freedom is taken away,
right?
Whether it's through the traps of debt and imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't really think I'm somebody who will break laws or whatever, but when there's a cop behind me, I'm just as scared as anybody else, right? And it's because nowadays, you could get shot 8 times for a cell phone and they say it's a gun, or, you know what I'm saying? I'm tired of hearing that excuse. Like, why are we not seeing that happen anywhere else in the world? Where they'll shoot somebody and then they'll say, oh, yeah, I thought it was a gun, or I was afraid for my life, right? It's time to start treating people like human beings, right? Because you can ask anybody, it is not fair to be treated that way. And people keep making excuses for it as if they're the ones, you know, there's like this false sense of like guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that people can articulate things differently without having to take the blame for it, right? Like, you could acknowledge that there is a flaw within our system here.
Right.
And acknowledge that we,
mm-hmm.
every color, race, creed, religion, gender, have equal saying in this situation, and that we should be able to sit down and have an educated discussion and point out where those flaws are and reinvent the system. What was a reality 200 years ago and what's a reality today is two different things.
Yeah.
You know, and laws are made, but those laws were made for America 200 years ago.
Right.
That constitution as well. You mm-hmm. know, and I think that there needs to be more conversation on change, and that needs to be across all boards, mm-hmm. right? Not just the education system or the prison system, or whatever. It's a systematic change for many systems in the United States.
Right. And just like we were talking about Gandhi earlier, and like how, you know, Morehouse is able to acknowledge both his greatness, but also some of the controversy around, you know, the earliest thing he did. I think like that's part of the same thing with our system. I feel a lot of people in our history, a lot of people just want to keep moving forward. And this is the greatest country on earth and freedom, you know, is here. But in fact, you know, it very much is not. And acknowledging mm-hmm. that and being able to have a critical look at it. And for me, coming from a country, the country of France, where critical thinking in this way, it's actually encouraged. If you do follow the government or support the government blindly, something's wrong with
Exactly.
You should always question the people in power.
Right.
But at the same time, that kind of thinking is being exported. Like, French people are more and more going towards like being entertained by politicians like Americans are. So
yeah,
a lot of that is also being exported a lot of places.
Yeah, and to me, like, I just think that people should start acknowledging, you know, including myself, the shoulders which we stand on, you know. That's the Native Americans, that's the African Americans who were a part of slavery, who built this nation. You know, that's the Latino, Mexican, you know, South American immigrants who come here and who work those fields in the 120 degree weathers,
mm-hmm,
out there and down in Texas or, you know, in Idaho. And you know what I'm saying? Like,
right,
you gotta know where your food is coming from and thank those farmers.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta acknowledge who's building these roads and these highways and these, right? Who's doing the hard jobs. You know what I'm saying? But I think that there is this sense of entitlement in a way to where we start to think, oh, okay, I'm educated, I make this much money, I'm better than that person, or you know what I mean? And
right,
and not actually seeing that at the end of the day, we all need to eat, we all need to,
yeah,
breathe, we all need to drink water. We, you know what I'm saying? Like,
our
we have the same necessities.
The same.
Yeah. And so I just think that that's, you know, it's important to see that. And now to tie it back to kids, my favorite thing, we need to invest in these next generations, and we really need to address mental health issues. We need to address bullying.
Mm-hmm.
We need to address safe sex. We need to address trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
We need, you know, there are so many things we got to start addressing and being real about instead of standardized testing. And,
right,
you know, that's cool and all, but man, like, there are kids taking their own lives in these streets today, you know, and it's very sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just, it, it makes me wonder, like, where do you start? How can you reform, you know, an entire system? And most importantly, what is the future going to look like, especially for those young boys and girls who are coming up, you know?
Do you have ideas?
I mean, number one, I mean, if you know what I need, what's her name, Betsy DeVos? I need
DeVos, yes.
I need that job, first of all.
I'm giving it to you.
Give
right
it to me,
now.
Hire me.
I'm you hired Aron. You
know,
are now the,
oh,
the new
love it.
Secretary of Education, Aron Andu.
You know, Trump gonna fire me the same day for all the ideas I give him. but no, I genuinely think that number one, it takes for us to listen to kids,
mm-hmm,
right? Kids know what they want and how they want to be educated. Let's stop forcing information down their throat and let's start investing in their interests. Let's stop being afraid to have conversations and start teaching them about their bodies and about, you know what I'm saying, the changes they're going through at a young age and not wait till they're teenagers, right? I think it was in Sweden, they start teaching kids that like in elementary school, in kindergarten, and these kids grow up having conversations about relationships,
mm-hmm,
and healthy relationships and how men should talk to women. And you know what I'm saying? Like, just the way their bodies are developing, their
right,
brains, their hormones, like teaching
them.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be about sex or sexual and intercourse,
right,
but it's about our biology.
Just growth, right?
Yeah.
Like understanding why your voice is changing,
right,
and cracking or,
mm-hmm,
you know, like it just a lot of things that cause kids a lot of identity,
right,
issues, are not being addressed. And you know, to talk about the true history of the U.S., right, to talk about the true history of the world and who was exploited and who colonized who and you know how that affects generations to come, right? Unless you tie it into today, a lot of that information is insignificant, and so kids grow up with prejudices and things like that, not knowing that that was something that happened,
right,
is passed down through generations.
Oh, that,
right,
did not happen.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that there are so many ways we could, so many changes that we could make,
mm-hmm,
you know, that wouldn't take a lot of whatever funding or issue, or
right,
it just be repurposing the funding we already are wasting on other,
mm-hmm,
stuff. you know.
But I feel that the end goal, though, would have to be very different for a system mm-hmm. like this to work. It's mm-hmm. like right now the system that we have is just looking at building you know, some workers, you know, effective whatever workers, you know, who would just be mindless, not really ask questions, to do this task and just be fine. A kind of system that you're talking about would be more about, like, you know, building someone's mm-hmm. character and someone critical thinking, so that they can then, you know, explore their skills and their talents and then become the most productive person in our society.
Exactly. And to me, you know, and that, to tie it back to the trip, that was one of the things that was really cool to see, because, you know, we talk about what it feels, what does it mean to be surrounded by people who look like you.
Right.
I went to a college that was majority white. There was mm-hmm. only 2% black there.
Wow.
And then probably another 4% Latino students, right? So that meant that 94% of the school was white. And to somebody who's white, they'll probably be like, what's the big deal there, right? But when you go out there and you sit in a class and there's nobody sitting around you, and I know I didn't stink because I took my showers, right? But it challenged,
right.
Like, it challenges everything you know about yourself, right? Mm-hmm. When you're walking around streets and nobody look like you, or, you know, understands you and where you come from. And, you know, it makes it hard to navigate mm-hmm. education, right? Being surrounded by everybody that looked like me was really cool, but it felt weird because I didn't know how to act, right? Because normally I stick out like a sore thumb, but that wasn't the case there, right? So students there are not judged based on their color or their whatever. They're judged based on what they're capable
character.
Of. Yeah.
Wow. Imagine.
And our kids felt that for the first time.
Wow.
And so, like, you know, like, I love diversity. I love diversity because I believe, and this is like a core belief of mine, that the more diversity you're around, you don't have to lose who you are, your culture, or whatever. But you need to learn how to respect others and their culture, right? Mm-hmm. And that makes you a more well-rounded person, if you ask me.
Right.
But for the sake of time, how about we give them another song? Two Wrongs by Wyclef.
Okay, let's go to that.
That's one of my favorites. I know you like that song too,
yeah,
Delphine.
Yeah, Claudette.
Mm-hmm. Claudette was killing it in that song.
I know.
So this is called Two Wrongs by Wyclef featuring Claudette. This song came out, what, like 2002, 2003? It came out after I came to the U.S., so I'm pretty sure it was like 2003. I was in summer school when it came out. Yep.
Sitting here playing the guitar.
City High. Left.
Excuse me if you see me screaming, but deep in my mind, I'm only dreaming. Cause if I wake, girl, then you're not by my side. I feel like half of me is no longer alive. So please, shorty, before you walk out that door, booby, would you listen to my song?
If only I give you one last chance with the devil, you can no longer dance. You got to be faithful so we could be fruitful.
Something new with some candlelight. Lay up in the bed and make love all night.
So baby, I won't leave, maybe I'll just stay. Promise me that you'll do the same.
Girl, I'ma love you like I never loved.
Touch me like you never touched.
Yo, if you give me the chance,
now,
girl,
baby,
I'm gonna show
understand
you
that I forgive you. But I ain't gonna forget that you broke me.
Baby, 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 but I have grown.
from a thug to a man. Build my castle with bricks and no longer with sand. Oh, girl.
And just before I run to the block, baby, I might listen to your song.
Ooh, before you walk out that door, listen. They said two wrongs don't make it right.
Don't make it right.
So if I'm wrong, I ain't trying to fight.
I don't wanna
I'm trying to have some dinner with some candlelight. In the bed and make love all night.
So puppy, I won't leave, maybe I'll just stay. But promise me that you'll do the same.
Girl, I'ma love you like I never loved.
Touch me like you never touched me.
I'm so lost, girl, I'm gonna show you.
Can't see the sunshine no more.
Yeah, Portland. This is one of my favorite songs right here. I used to jam to this on the hot bus headed to summer school.
Struggle I wish you was were real. Singing on the air too.
Oh yeah, I have a beautiful voice. If you all want your mirrors broken at home, then you would listen to me sing. I mean it too.
Yes.
This is such a wonderful surprise. As I'm talking about my trip to Atlanta, one of the students happened to be in the studio. Today we have Miss Nasaya with us. Nasaya is one of the kindest souls that I have met. I've only got to spend like about what, a month now getting to know you, but that was definitely one of my favorite experiences. So Nasaya, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself real quick.
My name is Nasaya and I'm a junior at POIC. By okay. Jefferson.
Okay, that's tight. Is this your first time in a radio station?
Yeah.
How does that feel? Is it a little bit scary?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's okay. Right, we're
not
just having a good conversation. Yeah, see? And see? Nobody here watching you.
And Nasaya is a KBOO intern now, so she'll get to spend a lot of time around the radio station. Not always on the air, but around. And let's give a shout out to Ariana also, who is in the...
Shout out to Ariana. She's sitting down looking at us.
Yes.
and laughing at me. So, Nasaya, I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. No pressure, okay? Just about your experience. What was your favorite part of the trip?
Tuskegee.
See, I was just telling them how we danced and sang. And,
yeah.
What would you say was your favorite part about Tuskegee?
Just how like everyone there was like a family and like they were trying to they're like really welcoming and
okay.
Yeah.
And how did you feel about the amount of history you witnessed?
It was actually like really surprising. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know and yeah. We went to like the Civil Rights Museum and I got to like be where Martin Luther King like got assassinated and like where he was born. It was like
it felt amazing, huh?
Yeah. Like,
that's really cool. How did you got to tour Spelman, right?
Yeah.
And what did you think about that? Just the experience of all like a school for just women. Like how did
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone there seemed like what I want to be like eventually.
Okay, can you describe some of those characteristics for me?
They're really smart, just like the way they carried themselves, like professional and
okay. And how did you feel being surrounded by just so many people of color, you know, and then like compared to let's say like Portland, for example?
It was different. I don't know.
How did it make you feel? Like, do you remember the feeling you got? Did it ever, like, did something stick out to you about just the fashion there, the music, the way people address each other?
It just felt different there, like, it felt more, like, welcoming.
More welcoming, friendly. Yeah, yeah, and I got the same vibe. I was actually just saying that before you walked into the room. You know, we were just talking about how it's hard to navigate like a school system when your teachers don't understand you or your culture, or, you know, just being able to even just be comfortable, mm-hmm. you know, seeing a diverse group of people who are just like welcoming and understanding of who you are, where you come from, you know, where you don't have to explain yourself to people. You know, did you kind of get that sense of feeling
yeah.
from that experience too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would you say the overall, so like looking at that whole experience from the get-go till the end of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you could take that and teach a group of younger students about it, what would you say your message would be to those group of kids?
I don't know how to say it.
Okay, well, let's break it down a little bit. So if you have a younger brother or sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you, hey, what, you know, what can you tell me about this trip that I can take with me, right? That I could use in my day-to-day life, right? And so, like, for example, for you, that made an impact to you, right? Being able to learn all that history and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what part of that would you like to expose your younger siblings to?
Well, I really like if my sister could go on that trip someday,
mm-hmm.
just so she could learn all the history that, like, she's probably not gonna get to learn, and like see that she can go to college, and yeah.
And so that gives you, think that will give her that self-worth to know that I'm capable of doing this? Did yeah. you get that feeling when you were over there?
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you just said that. I am so glad that you got to go on that experience, and I hope you carry that with you, you know, for the rest of your life, and share it even with your loved ones.
I will.
Definitely. Well, thank you, Nasiah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time and energy. I know this might have been a little bit intimidating, huh? But mm-hmm. you know, you're more than welcome to join our show whenever, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day you'll have your own show. Because I know that's one show I tune into, right, Delphine?
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of how you got started, right? You were like a guest on a show, and now you have
somebody's
show.
Yeah, and I was so nervous my first time. I messed up the whole script. Remember the script?
You did not mess up. You did just create a room.
Well, you know, I am a TV personality.
Look, 2 years later, you're still at it.
I'm still at it. Next song we got for you is Sagaba. This is a group called Blue Scholars, one of the groups that helped shape me. They talk about inequality in the work system. They talk about race. They talk about politics. I mean, everything. And this is definitely one of my favorite songs by him. It's Sagaba Remix by Blue Scholars.
Sister sits on the steps, cigarette rests on fingertips, sipping slow death through her lips, blows a kiss that I cannot resist. She got that ill gift of gravity, thick like the tension, cut quick with formalities high. My name is Gio, what's your zodiac sign? She replies, it's Aquarius, and that's a whack line. Decline the invitation to partake in a square, mesmerized, smoke dissipates in the air. I can conjure up the fearlessness to find a conversation, body language talking but lost in the translation of her name. She said brothers tend to mispronounce it, it's a Gaba. Tells me what it means in Ilocano. It translates to suffering. I'm pondering the irony, building on our so-called civilized society. The storyteller stops, waiting for the beat to drop, gathering his thoughts in a cloud, breathing out. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, y'all. 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 It's like that, y'all. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, y'all. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, y'all. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, y'all.
that I used to know a sister just like you. Beautiful but jaded by the multitude of men who'd often try to justify their lies with manhood deficient, twisted notions of survival. Insecure, seeing even lovers as the rivals and hiding behind the armor when karma completes a cycle. I'm sick of all this metaphor philosophy. You got a man, what your man got to do with me? You see, between you and I is a thin line we stand by. But if we ever find ourselves on the other side, then time will stand still and whole worlds will collide. We hardly know ourselves if we got nothing to ride for. A struggle to live to the fullest and die for, and make love and wage war for. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, come on. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, y'all. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, come on. It's like that, y'all. It's like this. It's like that, y'all. It's like this. It's like that, y'all. It's like this, y'all. It's like that, y'all. Come on, it's like that, y'all. Dreams be the ashes burnt thrashing in the wind, flying from the burning bush flung from her fingers, and it hung in the air in this moment of truth. Then it crashed into flames like the end of our youth. We getting trapped in abstractions, reality bites back. We casually fight, lacking the insight despite that. Opposites attract, but if not, we stay honest. She told me it's better to be critical than conscious. My sister, your fist is more symbolic than you know, and use it as a weapon if he calls you up. Hold up, did I mention I'm a Pisces? But all these other fish up in the sea will never love you like me. Inhale, the imagery, a queen walking steadily. Hips sway sweetly to an old soul melody. I hold this memory close. She kept walking, and that's when I wrote the first line to the song.
It's like that, y'all. This is my song. I'm sorry, I love this song. This was Sagaba Remix by Blue Scholars. Definitely an amazing group. Actually, my opening song is by Blue Scholars as well. It's called Joe Metro, another one of my favorites. I just have a lot of favorites from them. Anyways, Portland, I think it's about that time for me to sign off. I just kind of, Delphine, matter of fact, do you have any message for the kids before we...
I always have a message for the kids. The kids, no, the young people and the not so young people. I would say, here's the thing. This current school system didn't work for my parents. It didn't work for me. It's not working for you. It's time for a different school system. So I'm down if you all, as we were just talking about that revolution around.
Yeah, we're going
to
start it.
I'm down for, you know, thinking and working with young people to think about what a different system would actually work. Because right now it's not working. That's my message.
Thank you, Delphine. I'm snapping because I support that message. At the same time, I'd like to leave with this. Don't let your circumstances shape you. You have a voice. This is to all the youth, young women, young men, adults. Don't let your circumstances shape you. Understand that you always are valued. You always have a voice. And, you know, you deserve life just like anybody else does. I know we see a lot of discouraging things on, you know, on TV, on the news. But you could be the positive change. And like Delphine said earlier, let's stop waiting on heroes to come and save us, and let's start, you know what I'm saying, improving ourselves as individuals. I think progress is not just, it's not, you know, all falling on one person's shoulders. I think it takes a village to progress. With that being said, this is Aron. Shout out to Nicky D. Nick Deezy. He's listening. You got a big head, buddy. And, you know, we'll see y'all next month.
Bye.
Bye.
1968, the year that rocked America.
A year featured by two grim assassinations, by riots, by racial and social strife, and a baffling attempt to end the war. Lift.
1968, 50 years ago. KBOO was born and so was I.
Diablo.
Tune in this Thursday, just before midnight, and we're rocking the music of 1968 all night long here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland. Thursday night.